During the last two sermons I've delivered, I've said on both occasions that the lesson delivered is as much for the benefit of the person preaching as it is for the congregation. I thought today I'd go one stage further and write one which is purely for my benefit, but you're welcome to listen in as I talk to myself, because I feel moved to talk about the importance of deliberately spending quiet time seeking and listening to God, something which, in the words of many of my school reports, would be noted down as could do better. I think and try and collect ideas for a service a few weeks beforehand and then note them down in a book, which afterwards I try and read what I've written, which was another frequent entry on my school reports. But a week last Friday, I was sitting thinking in the garden. It was a hot day at the end of the week, thinking about the service with all sorts of fuzzy thoughts in my mind, none of them really coalescing around any coherent message. And it reminded me very much of being a passenger in the seat of my Aunt Alice's car when she was driving round the six-lane motorway on the edge of Toronto. You see, you have three fast lanes and you have three turn-off lanes. And she was never particularly sure where she should be turning off. Now, half a mile before you come to a junction, there is a concrete barrier that divides the three fast lanes and the three turn-off lanes. And that's normally got signs over the top to say where you're going. All very nice and clear if you know where you're going. Not so great if you're uncertain. So Auntie's technique was to drive in between lanes 3 and 4, directly at the concrete barrier, and then when she was certain, she'd veer off one way or the other. The direction was always a surprise to me, but nowhere near as much as a surprise to the two following cars. So there I was, in the garden, thinking about the direction of today's service and message, and at the same time coming into my mind the issues from work that I'd just finished, the task of the weekend, COVID stats, and they're all fighting in my mind for attention. And then something caught my eye. About 10 feet away, a beautiful goldfinch on the bird feeder was having a little meal from the food that had been provided. And one of my favourite verses came into my mind. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can one of you add a single hour to your life by worrying? I love it when the Lord gives you a message like that. Then I looked up at the garden and the second half of that particular text came into my mind. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that's how the Lord clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, will he not clothe you better, O ye of little faith? Do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? Being busy all the time leaves little time to listen quietly to God. In the characters of A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh, all of them are written over what I guess is a period of about a year. They age possibly a year over that period of time. I personally would have found it really helpful if he'd have written the character of Tigger into middle age, because it would have given me some marker for what's normal behaviour. In the first centuries after Christ, a number of hermit monks started finding solitude. And one of the most famous ones was a saint called Saint Simeon the Stylite, who lived for 37 years on a small platform on top of a column. He wanted to find solitude so he could commune with God. Extreme measures, you may think. But what would he think of life now and all the distractions that keep you busy? I have customers, this is absolutely true, I have customers who will ring me on my mobile phone and tell me that they rang me on my mobile phone because my direct line was busy. Meantime, I'm receiving texts, emails, there's a live chat on the computer, there's WhatsApp, and somewhere in the background, there's a fella from who purports to be from Microsoft ringing on the landline all at the same time. And somehow, this is normal life. And you will have your own forms of busyness that are a constant distraction, the unimportant, urgent things that go on in your life. The Soviet Union, and I believe President Putin probably still does this, had a particular formula for looking at issues which they couldn't immediately understand. Situations that had happened which they couldn't quite figure out. Simple maxim they had. Who ultimately benefits? Who ultimately benefits from all this business that leaves no time for listening or reflection? Now, I could say to you that you're filling your time, but it might not be. It might be society fills your time with so much business. Your boss fills your time. Your family an over-demanding relation fills your time. But ultimately, who benefits from filling your time with things that are not important but apparently urgent? There's an old trick that some motivational speakers will use. I reckon, let's see if Andy's seen this one before, but I reckon there'll be two or three people who've seen this trick before, where they encourage staff to work harder through a simple practice. They say, right, I want you to fill this glass with stone to the top. And so they'll take some stone and they will ask them to fill it. I say, right, fill it right to the top, right to the brim. And there it is. I would say that that is more or less full. Yeah? Is it full? No, it's not. Thank you. So two people have seen this one. So the next thing they do is they take sand. And if they've got a brain, they do it over the tray. So you put sand in it, and you keep going until it's full. Is it full?
No.
No, it's not.
Water.
You take water, and you pour the water in, and you can keep filling it. And I'm sure that Danielle, who knows far more about these things than I do, will tell me there's other things that you can do to fill in the gaps in between the water. But we're now at a stage, I thought that was good for me, we're beyond my stage and my understanding. But life feels like that at times, where we're just cramming so much in. The question is, are you actually finding time, those gaps, to find the silence, the time to listen to God? Now, some of you there will be thinking to yourself, you're actually quite good at doing this. And if you are, that's fantastic. But you have a responsibility to help those who aren't. Because there are some of us who really need to strike a balance between what is urgent but perhaps not important, and the important stuff of listening to God. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. And I love that story in Luke 10, where the disciples were on their way to a village, and you had Martha and Mary. You had Martha and Mary, and Martha was doing all the preparations, working really hard, and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And Martha complained, and the Lord answered, "You're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, my immediate reaction would to be like Martha, with the possible modern stream of seeing if it's possible to fix up a camera so I can live stream Jesus talking while I'm doing the preparations. But would I be giving Jesus my full attention? Of course, there has to be a balance. And if you look in Proverbs 18, verse 18, it says, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother of him who is the great destroyer." We can't be slothful, but we have to strike a balance. The key thing is to make time for God like Mary does. She stops and concentrates and gives God her full attention. Now, some people will incorrectly perceive that to be selfish. It's not. It's respectful. And stop and think for a moment. What would you rather do? Spend time with your Lord who loves you and cares for you and created you? Or make sure the ironing's done? Sam's fiance, interestingly, never irons anything. Life is too short for that. It would take a huge change in my behaviour for me to be able to go out with a shirt which isn't ironed. But that's another matter. What's important? There are so many distractions, not least the distraction of the guilt that you don't appear to be doing something. I heard a choir master say a while ago on Radio 3 Choral Evensong, some people criticise him for the amount of time and effort they put into practising their singing. And he said, "You have to bear in mind, we believe it's important, because at the end of time, that's all we're going to be doing. All we're going to be doing is praising God. So therefore, it is that important." Yet we are to get distracted, to a lesser or greater extent, by what is sometimes not important. There's an interesting passage in 2 Kings chapter 22 where Hilkiah the priest is organising refurbishment of the temple and finds the books of God's laws and presents them to King Josiah. And Josiah then goes on to read them to all the people, collects the people together. But let's just rewind for a second. Hilkiah the high priest, when he's doing a refurbishment of the temple, finds the books of the laws of God. How could that happen? How could you lose the word of God? What kind of a distraction could have been happening for years and years and years that you completely missed that? When they're worshipping at the temple, or worshipping at home, were they seeking God, or were they simply going through the motions? And the question I've got here is, what are we doing here? Are we seeking the Lord? Do we think that it is only these bricks and mortar that contain God? Well, of course we don't. He can't be contained here. Our Lord is not a Sunday God. He's not neatly packaged at SL39JR. He wants to meet with us all the time. How irritated do you get when you're speaking to somebody and they're looking at their mobile phone? Particularly if they're in customer service and you're the customer. That's perhaps an extreme example, but you've got to think about it. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Last Sunday, before I started writing this, I was out in the cool of the morning picking raspberries from the raspberry canes we got at home. And that was after a fairly unsuccessful attempt a couple of days beforehand, where I'd gone to the raspberry bushes and I'd had a look, and I had more or less enough to garnish a cocktail, and that was about it. 3 or 4 raspberries at most. Very sparse and disappointing. But on Sunday, I got an old pair of trousers on, and I went down on my knees and looked up. And there was an abundant harvest because I was in the right position to see the fruits and to pick. So this week, I aim to find the space and the time to spend time quietly with God and to listen to him and to get rid of some of the business of the day. And it's not a bad idea to spend time with our Lord who loves us so much. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. In a minute, we will remind ourselves of how much he loves us while we take communion. But first, we're going to listen to a song, Behold the Lamb.